During this season of Advent, we kind of hear from maybe two or three, maybe even four different storylines. The first reading has been from different prophets of the Old Testament. Basically, it is after the time of King David. The kingdom of Israel has been conquered and split, been broken up into different pieces, and there isn't really a temple or a place for the people to worship. So many of the prophets that we've heard over the last two or three weeks speaking in the first readings have been speaking about how God will send his Messiah, how everything will be brought back into order, how he will be bringing back his nations, the people back together in order, in structure. They will have a king who will love them, who will care for them, who will take care of them. Definitely also growing closer to Christmas, we've been hearing, of course, a little bit from the storyline of the actual event of Mary conceiving in her womb through the Holy Spirit, the child Jesus. And so Mary and Elizabeth, Elizabeth's husband John and Joseph, in this particular storyline, as we're growing closer to Jesus' birth that will be taking place, that we'll be celebrating on the 25th. Today, there's also a storyline that we hear of St. John the Baptist that we've also been hearing as well. St. John the Baptist is speaking about maybe 30 years after Jesus' birth. So Jesus grew up and kind of lived with his family, maybe in a rather hidden life with the Holy Family, with Mary and Joseph. And then his last 3 years of his life were of public ministry. Well, that public ministry began with St. John the Baptist speaking of a baptism of repentance, calling the people also to repent, to come back, to give your lives back to the Lord, and to prepare for the Messiah. See, in the Old Testament, the prophets believed that before the Messiah would come, the prophet Elijah would come back, and that he would welcome in or usher in the Messiah. John the Baptist is believed to be the voice in the desert, to be the figurement of Elijah, speaking out for the people, and to be that sign for those people that the Messiah is coming, which is Jesus Christ. So soon, in this particular gospel, after this time, in the Jordan, while John the Baptist is speaking of baptism, he will also baptize Jesus in the waters. And Jesus begins his public ministry. So with these particular themes, why this idea of rejoicing? We rejoice because our cries have been heard. God is sending his Son into our world. He is bringing us true peace. I really like in that gospel today very concrete words that John the Baptist speaks. I know from my own life, it's kind of nice to know what you should do, right? People are asking John the Baptist, what should we need to do? What do we need to do to prepare for the coming of the Lord? And John the Baptist maybe doesn't necessarily say anything new here. He says, basically, love your neighbor. Put God first in your life. Care for the poor and the needy. If you have two cloaks, one of them belongs to the person who has none. Do not extort people. Do not take more money than what is allocated as tax collectors. It's always good to have a voice that speaks a sense of truth and that challenges us in our life. I think sometimes what happens living in this world, sometimes we get caught up in the things of the world. So maybe even those particular tax collectors, they probably knew in their heart that they shouldn't take more money. The soldiers probably knew they shouldn't extort particular people or do things that were wrong, but maybe other people around them were doing them, those particular things. Maybe some of them felt as though they had no other option to not do those particular things. John the Baptist is truly speaking a word of realization that be set free from the ideas of the world that we live in. Your peace will not come from taking more money from people. Your peace is not going to come from having your closets full of clothes and toys and other particular kinds of things. Your peace and joy isn't going to be found in incorrect ways of punishing other people or putting other people down to make yourself look better. Peace is only going to be found by truly accepting our Savior Jesus Christ into our own life. And this is a reason to rejoice, to be set free. He speaks, of course, of a baptism of repentance, of reconciliation. So the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation that we have in our church, also to be set free from our sinfulness, to be set free from the traps that maybe we have fallen into, that we have fallen into sin that we thought would give us peace. But it only left us robbed of our peace. Maybe doing the things of the world makes us more anxious. Doing things or living things in the world makes us more worried. Do I have enough? Do I have more? Do I need more? Do I have the right coat or the right clothes that match the right things, that connect with the right seasons? Maybe really all we really need is just one. How, in some sense, in our own life, where are we desiring to find that peace and that centeredness? So I hope that as we draw ever closer to Christmas, over these next couple of days, maybe this week, reflecting upon these words of St. John the Baptist in just a more reflective way, what really maybe can I let go of as I maybe prepare to receive some new things at Christmas? What are some things that I can let go of? I've tried to follow the practice that whenever I get a new shirt, I let another one go. Or if I get a new coat, I let another one go. Or if I get a new pair of shoes, let another pair go. That the idea is, in some sense, is being able to recognize what do I need and where is my peace found in? Maybe not in the particular things that I have or that I own. Even in our relationships with people, with families, how do we relate to our children? How do we relate to our parents? How do we find peace in those particular relationships as well? Sometimes it's not about getting what we need or what we want, but actually truly listening and enjoying that relationship that we have with the people in our own lives. And hopefully recognizing how sin can distract that, how sin deteriorates that, how sin removes, in some sense, that inner peace. So as we prepare for the coming of Christ, let us rejoice that He is the one who can meet all of our needs. Maybe peace is found in the one thing that can meet all the desires of our hearts. And all the desires of our heart are met when we encounter our Savior Jesus Christ. So let Him be the true meaning of your peace. Let it start there. And then from there, let that peace trickle into all the other areas of your own life. Rejoicing that the Lord wants to be the King of your heart. He wants to bring you that peace and to meet all the desires that you do have. Many times we do sin, we do fall away, we do lose our peace. And we can find it again in that sacrament of reconciliation. When we're able to speak to light the times that we have strayed and gone in other areas and try to find peace in other things and recognize that it just left us feeling more empty. Let those things go. Learn your own lessons. Come back, rejoice, and find true peace that comes from repentance, that comes from forgiveness. Let this be what brings you, hopefully from the depths and the bottomness of your heart, a desire to truly rejoice. I have been set free. I have been forgiven. I can live with the Lord. Sometimes I feel as though we have a hard time in the church rejoicing because we really don't know what we're rejoicing about or what we need to rejoice in. Rejoice that God is sending His Savior Jesus Christ to us. Rejoice that He can renew the peace of your own heart as He dwells there. Rejoice that all you have to do is come to Him, desire to be forgiven, and you will live in this new peace that He desires to give.